Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome along to Northumberland FA podcast from the sidelines. Our special guest today, head of academy goalkeeping at Newcastle United, Tony Keogh. Tony, great to have you on from the sidelines today.
Thanks for the invite, Gary. It's great to speak to you, and hopefully we can get through some good stuff.
Yeah, Tony, we're going to talk about obviously the main thing, your passion, supporting the goalkeepers. But just before we get going, do you just want to explain to everyone your current role at Newcastle?
Yeah, my current role at Newcastle is head of academy goalkeeping, which oversees the 9s to 21s goalkeeping programme. Within that, I'm working closely with all the goalkeeping staff, setting the curriculum, the technical curriculum, the training programs, scheduling, and there's different kind of facets to the job in terms of who's doing well, who's where, what do they need, and how can that be bespoke to them. And that's conversations with the goalkeeping coaches. We have full-time coaches right through from the under 9s to 12s, 13s, 16s, and the PDP, and all good coaches in their own rights, and they're in their own way, and they really know how to develop the goalkeepers in their age bands. Got Michael with the younger ones, James Montgomery and Ben Ashcroft. So, and we've also got staff around that with part-time in Dale Walker, who's at Gateshead and works as a sessional coach, Phil Nesbitt at South Shields, who comes in as a sessional coach. And we've got Paul Barron, who's what I would probably call a goalkeeping mentor for myself and for the goalkeepers, vastly experienced Premier League goalkeeping coach and former player, who's got some really close connections to the club, having been the goalkeeping coach of the first team here a few years ago. So it's me to try and bring that. My job is to try and help bring that together. But I think with the group of people that we have in the department, it's quite an easy process, because we all think the same. We all look at things in a very similar way. And that includes up to the first team with Adam Bartlett, who I've known many, many years as a teammate. I was his coach and now we're colleagues. And Adam stepped up to the first team, and we have very, very similar beliefs and values in goalkeeping. So that aligns right throughout the club. So it makes for the department to run quite seamlessly, I would hope. I hope that's how it seems. There's obviously bumps in the road as with everything, but those are the discussion points that we have, and we try to find the best way forward, whether that's from a coaching process or from what the players need and what can we give them. Yeah.
Tony, and you must have seen a lot of change. You're rhyming off all the support within the club, within the academy, where the young goalkeepers that come in at all age groups, from the very young ones at 7 and 8, right the way through to the first team. And that must be nice for you to see as an ex-professional goalkeeper, and the support that this very specific position is now getting.
Much so. I was down at St George's, probably might be about 12 months ago now. I was asked to go down and talk a little bit about how things have changed, going from when I played into my first like early years of coaching, then to the present day. And Eric Steele was there, and obviously Eric's been around the FA many years, and Man United, everyone coached a lot of top goalkeepers. And he asked me a question in front of the room when I was talking. He said, do you find that you're looking for the things to help the goalkeepers are the things that you didn't have, and are you working on the things with the goalkeepers that you maybe weren't the best at as a goalkeeper? And it made me stop and think a little bit, and I think there was something in that, and I tried to answer honestly, and there is elements of what we try to give our goalkeepers which just wasn't available when I played or when I first came into coaching. So we try to provide that the best service we can for the young lads, to give them the best opportunity so it can be used in the right way. And what we work on in terms of the game, and the game has changed in terms of the game has evolved, how the goalkeeper's position is played and what strengths you need to have now, and trying to look at that when that maybe wasn't something that was needed when I played. So trying to build in those blocks and learn. And by having the people around you, in terms of the staff I have, there are lots of different ages. So I'll pick things up from the younger coaches, definitely, of what goalkeeping looks like now, because that's relative to their age and what they were brought up as goalkeepers. Slightly different to myself, and then probably slightly different again to Paul Barron. So we've got that, range and of ages and of experience around the goalkeepers, and they do get a service now that probably I couldn't have dreamed of maybe 20 years ago, even 10 years ago. And the nutrition elements, the bespoke training programs, the strength and conditioning, psychology, everything around the educational aspects all around the goalkeepers now, it's such a full program that we have to be wary as well that there isn't maybe a little bit too much for them at times, and we need to come off them in training a little bit when it's definitely around with the goalkeepers who are maybe at exam times and GCSEs, and we have to factor in a lot of different elements because ultimately it is about the players, and the goal is it's not about us as staff.
Johnny, and personally, you also support the Northern Ireland squad. That must be fantastic for your learning as
It's
well.
been a brilliant experience. I've been doing it literally it was a year last month, so just over a year. And it came around through Steve Harper and Jack Ross, and Harps had obviously worked with the IFA before in the goalkeeping coach role. And he's good friends with Michael O'Neill, the manager. Michael happened to be down watching a Sunderland game. Because there's a couple of players playing for Sunderland that are in the Northern Ireland squads, and he stayed over and came in to visit us the next day, and we just got chatting, and Jack knew him from obviously from management days, and Harps asked me that if I would be open to providing some cover for a camp coming up against Romania and Scotland, two friendly full internationals, and it's not something I'd thought of. I've done international coaching at youth ages for Scotland, but that was a good few years ago when I was working up there. So it was something I hadn't thought of, and then when it's put to you like that, it seemed like an unbelievable opportunity, even if it was just for two games, because he wasn't sure what was happening with his kind of regular goalkeeping coach at the time, Michael. So I went and did the two games. The club were brilliant to let me go and do that, and have been brilliant to let me continue to do that over the past year. I did those two games, and Michael asked me to stay on, and I'm still doing it now. So every time I go away, there's something different, something new. It's an intense environment because there's a lot of video, there's a lot of meetings, there's a lot of discussion around what the opposition are doing. You're not really, it's a different shift because you're not a player developer. You're actually preparing them for a game. And to try and win a game rather than develop skills. There's a reason they're in the squad. It's probably because they're the best player in that position to be in the squad at that point in time. So the actual kind of attention has to shift a little bit, and your focus has to shift to the opposition more and what they bring and how you can prepare the goalkeepers within the team towards those games. But it's been good. It's been really good, challenging.
Yeah, brilliant, brilliant one. That's good to hear. Tony, that would start our own support, and how do we support our goalkeeper? And the modern game is different now to what it was, especially around the goalkeeper.
Very much so. I mean, we all talk about build up and play out now. That's a real big topic or topic of conversation at every level now. It used to probably be more so at the top level of football, but if you look at the game now, all the way through the divisions, most teams are trying to build from the back since players could step into the box and receive it, and that law was brought in. Then it has changed. Coaches and managers and goalkeepers' way of playing, and that's really affected goalkeeping coaches because they've now got to factor that in to almost every session they do because it's a mainstay. It's here to stay. We do a lot of transition practice with the goalkeepers now, so where you'd just be doing your sort of kind of handling and shot stopping, and you're dealing with crosses kind of scenarios. Now we're actually building in a play out element. So you're actually working on is actually losing the ball, and then how do you transition back into goal? So it's massively changed. I mean, I just got into first team football back in the day at Carlisle when the pass back was brought in. We're not picking up the pass back, so I was fortunate. I was like 18, 19 at the time, and just got in the first team, but I could adapt my game over a little period of time using my feet. But there was a lot of goalkeepers are saying it really, really was a big problem, and some really good experienced goalkeepers who've really struggled with it because they've been so used to, picking the ball up, and now they're having to deal with it with the feet. So, but now when you look at the goalkeepers now, they're almost a player with gloves on. And the top ones, if you look at your real top teams and the way they play, the goalkeeper can actually be a really big element of attack, and it's not just playing short, it can be actually counter attacks, and it's actually playing balls in behind teams. So it's not a long ball, it's probably a long pass. And I think that's what we're trying to do at the club now, especially with the younger ones, is have them more involved in possession and passing practices. And that's based off us having, us doing our own research and looking around at how the game and the trends are developing, but club visits and seeing how other teams do it in Europe, and not necessarily having goalkeepers with teams that they'll rotate players. And that's something we've taken from there. We can't do that because of how we have our structure. Not that I would want to change it anyway, but I think we've now managed to get an element of getting a balance of getting the goalkeepers in with the players on quite a regular basis. So they're actually involved in sessions. So the players start to see the goalkeepers as players and not just goalkeepers. So when it comes to a game, they're actually used to playing the ball to them. It's become a common practice. So that's something we're building on, and we've been doing that for probably more than a year now, probably 18 months, and we're starting to see that now. When I look at some of the footage back of the young goalkeepers playing in the games, they're playing so high and advanced, and they're joining in and becoming extra players. And credit to the coaches for encouraging that as well, and pushing that and promoting that with the goalkeeper coaches. There's a good buy-in.
And Tony, I think that's for coaches at all levels that we need to be incorporating our goalkeepers within my practices, and they don't just go away and do some handling or some crossing, catching of balls. That how do we design my practices so that the goalkeepers are involved with that, especially if it might be, you've got one coach with 12 or 3 players and a goalkeeper, as an example.
Think, I mean, depending on the age you play, obviously, and you've got younger grassroots, having the young goalkeepers involved in the training sessions, I mean, call it as a player. Well, they are a player. It's just that the only difference is when the ball's in the box, they can pick it up. And you've got to try and look at it from through those eyes, and use the goalkeepers in that way within sessions. So when you do any possession practices, I mean, there was a kind of a few probably 5, 10 years ago, I used to see a lot of coaches using goalkeepers as end men in practices and in kind of end zones. When there's nothing wrong with that, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But there was always an element of you couldn't go in and press the goalkeeper. And that would be, well, why not? Because that's what would happen in a game if the ball goes back. Now, if you get your dimensions right, obviously you can get the kind of space they have to press to be of a relative to the game, then it brings the relative amount of pressure that the goalkeeper will feel in the game. If it's too tight, then those aren't the areas you would play in anyway. You probably wouldn't do that anyway because it's too tight and too risky. But if it's a slightly bigger distance, then it's relative to the actual game. So end zone stuff is good, as long as the dimensions, you could have a big end zone, so there's lots of depth, so the goalkeeper can receive the ball at the back of the end zone to give themselves time
Like
and
that.
space. But if you actually put them into a possession practice, you tend to find, even if it was, say, it was a, because a lot of times they're trying maybe have a goalkeeper as a floater or and things like that. And I think, well, that's fine, but then there's no pressure of losing the ball. They're always okay. And the game isn't like that, as we know. You do have pressure when you receive it. So I think that if you put me in a possession, you'll find they'll gravitate to a side or an end anyway of the pitch, because they like the feeling of, like, there's nothing behind me. They don't want to play on a 360, they want to play on a 180. That's how they want to play the game, because that's what you're used to on a match day. So I wouldn't overly concern yourself as a coach on that. You'll find that they'll pick areas, and they'll adapt accordingly. In terms of the goalkeeping in the goal, it's a little bit more difficult because, depending if it's opposed or unopposed. But I've kind of gone full circle. I was doing a little thing myself about trends in goalkeeping, and I got asked about what's the modern trends and where are things going. And it's really hard to be ahead of it. You're always trying to think where it might go to. But when I look, I actually think it's come back a little bit, full circle. I look at it and think, well, we're now talking about the extra pass in the box for the cutback now, but the cutback isn't coming from outside the line of the 18-yard box. It's actually in the box. Teams get in the box, get the extra pass in. So it increases the chances of scoring quite considerably. So as goalkeeping coaches, are we working on that in terms of positioning in relation to the ball from the cutback cross, and then the position you take up for the shot, so the reaction save element? Now that's something we've worked on forever, goalkeeping coaches, but now it just might be, from our perspective, where does the cross come from? Rather than too wide, we might need it closer to goal, because that's where the chances are coming from now. That's where teams are trying to get into that like zone, that like hotspot zone to get a cross in. So can we work on that? But as an outfield coach, if you're putting on a cross and a finishing practice, can you work it where the crosses come from that zone? But when the cross comes in, don't have it completely unopposed. Is it a 2v1 in the box? So there's actually a defender, and you can build that relationship with goalkeeper and defender. So it might well goalkeeper and defender cuts off the near post. So that leaves the far post player open, but the goalkeeper has to take a position up in relation to the ball, then turn and try and defend the far post. So it's game realistic. But the chances of scoring when it goes far post are much less, because the ball might be aerial and there'd be time for other defenders to get back round. So trying to look at the detail of that is something. And that, I think that's fairly easy to do even with grassroots. It's just on your session design. It's not, this isn't complicated really, you know.
Tony, just to interrupt there, I'm just thinking here in my head, and the importance of what practice design, whether we're coaching goalkeepers like yourself, incorporating goalkeepers into our practices as co as outfield coaches, that's always been the importance of how we design the size of our area, where there's lots of repetition to make whatever we're working on and our theme, that there's lots of opportunities to practice that particular topic, isn't it?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
We've spoken about that for years, so it isn't different in any other way, even though you're working with the keepers.
It isn't. Yes, and you're trying to take your session. A goalkeeping session is to, you know, it's like a story. It's like any session, start, middle, and an end. And the end usually is between your last practice and when you're going to with the players. So say for example, if you're working with our young goalkeepers in the academy system, they'll have IDPs, they'll have a weekly theme. So that's the start points for the goalkeeping coach to build his session. But you also has to have, he has to know what the session is that the goalkeepers are going into when they join the players. So is there an incorporation of that within his goalkeeping session? So the skill of the coach is to combine two or three different elements into his session, explain it to the goalkeeper. So when they get there's no surprises. And then they go in and they're comfortable with what they're going in, because there'd be no point in working on play out for 30 minutes as with a group of goalkeepers, and then they go into cut back crosses because they've just done nothing that's related to that. So you've got to try, you can still have an element of play out, transition, lose the ball, goes into a cut back cross, comes in, because that's the game now, transition. You lose the ball in your own defensive third a lot. So we've got to make sure that the goalkeepers know where to move, how to move, and what to do in those situations. And that can take you into the session with the players. And I think that's getting much, much better. I think our goalkeeping coaches now at the club, and the staff as well, there's a real good link and understanding there now. I think it's really strong, and I think it takes time. And because, and I also think coaches have been used to planning and designing sessions by themselves in terms of the outfield coaches. It's still at times probably dependent on their background and what they've come from. It's probably not natural for them to be sitting with a goalkeeping coach and discussing what the goalies are doing and when they come in and they come to this. And but I think it's really good now. I think I hear a lot of conversations. Goalkeeping coaches have been very proactive with that as well. And I've said, don't be frightened to ask questions. You know, because they've got something planned, you need to know what that looks like. And then when you've had that, you've seen that and been shown that and you've discussed it, there might be one thing that you see and you might say, what if we did that instead of this?
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's not to change the session. I'm not saying for 1 second goalkeeping coaches start changing play coaches' sessions, but if they feel like it could be adapted, that would make it a little bit more realistic or a little bit closer to the game, then feel like you've got the connection with the coach and the license to say that. And I think that's how you build that trust and you
Yeah,
build a way of
yeah.
working.
Yeah. John, what sort of detail do we need to delve into if we're trying to support goalkeepers? And this might be a grassroots coach who is trying to support his goalkeepers within his practices, because as you're aware of now, we go on education courses right to the UEFA now upwards. We're looking for coaches designing practices and how they're involving the goalkeeper within that. And what sort of detail do we need to be delving into to give our goalkeeper some support without having the knowledge and the background and the education that you guys have had that are goalkeeping coaches?
Suppose you're saying without having the real technical
I think
detail to
I
give,
think so. How can we support what we're getting on a Wednesday night?
I suppose from my perspective, and I'm not expecting an outfield coach to go and do all the coaching licenses of goalkeepers and learn all the technical elements, but what I would say is I would say that a lot of coaches, they watch a lot of football and they watch all levels of football, and there'll be common themes that they'll spot throughout if they just decided to watch a goalkeeper. So don't watch the game so much. Try and watch the goalkeeper for pockets of time. And so you may not be able to coach, like you can talk about real simple W catch and cup saves and things like this and long barrier saves, and you can educate yourself on that. And that's really simple to do. It wouldn't take long. Once you talk about positional elements, I think that's where an outfield coach will probably have a better understanding, because they are talking about positional play all the time with players. So you could look at starting positions in real simply. If the ball's at one end of the pitch, where should the goalkeeper be stood in relation to the ball? When should the goalkeeper start to make movements back to goal, and how would they move back to goal while still being able to protect space? So like in a staggered movement going back rather than running backwards flat-footed. And then also looking at the pitch and splitting it into three. So you've got like a red, an amber, and a green. If the ball's at the top of the pitch, you can be right at the top of the red zone. If the ball's in the middle of the pitch, the amber, then you need to drop into the middle of the red zone. And then if it's right at the edge of the red, you're in your goal. So from a real simple kind of standpoint, you can explain that to a young goalkeeper, because they'll understand that, and you could show them visually as well. I think that's quite an easy one to do. In terms of shots and saving things in the goal, understanding angles is probably something that most coaches could get a grasp of quite comfortably, and depth in the goal. So you see a goalkeeper too high and the ball seems to go up and over them, around them. Well, that's easy to see. And easy to, so rather than say, "Oh, you're too far off your line," then can you then say to the little goalkeeper, "Well, you were there. If you'd been there, I think you might save that." So you having a little bit of knowledge and show them like depth. There's nothing wrong with standing in the goal and saying, "If you just drop 2 yards, I do that now." And things like this don't change when you're in the academy system either. It's the same messages. It's just that it maybe happens slightly less often, but you still need to remind. And even as you come up the ages and they're getting the professionals, there's still times you have to step in and talk about positional elements. Or, I'm always saying about when they're moving across goal and that he's like, "Know where your near post is." So I just say, "Know where your post is," because like that's your best friend. Because if your space is right between you and your post, they're not going to score there. The only place they can go is back across you. And then if you know that, it gives you a better chance of saving the one back across you as well. So it's understanding that probably the angles and the position in relation to where the ball is on the pitch. And I think they're simple ones that most grassroots coaches could, if they don't already know, could quite easily find out. There's a lot of things online, there's a lot of resources, there's things out there. And because I think with goalies, I mean, I'm not going to say it, but I've worked with managers or coaches in the past, many years ago, and you're on a bench and it's a first team game, and he's too deep, or he's got to come for that. And I'm like, right, okay, well, I can't really tell because I'm at pitch level, so I don't really know. If you've got an elevated view, it's a little bit easier. And I'll say, well, when you look back at it, a lot of the times it'd be like, yeah, he probably couldn't come for that. So that it's an emotional reaction rather than, because he doesn't want to concede a goal, neither do I. But it's an emotional reaction, and you need to think about in cold light of day, well, was the position good? Was the decision right? What was the depth of the defenders? Because it's okay saying a goalkeeper should be higher and come for it, but goalkeepers take their position off the back line, remember? So if the back line are too deep, generally the goalie will be too deep. And that's what causes that little problem with the gaps, with crosses coming in or through balls and things like that. So it's definitely a collective as a unit. It's not one thing. But coaches know all this. They've got the knowledge. I think they just sometimes think, oh, it's the goalies. I don't really know. Well, I'm not asking you to show them how to save a shot. What I'm saying is where would you like them to be? Where's your back players going to be? So if they're going to be there, we need to take a position up there. If there's no pressure on the ball, if there's pressure on the ball, we can be probably a little bit more advanced. So there's lots of different things that come into play. But coaches have got this, definitely.
Yeah, Tony, what would be your top tips for coaches listening in today on at all different levels? How can we best support our goalkeepers within the whole group environment? Because I think that's key. If we're by ourselves, or we've got a coaching buddy, there's two of us, and how are we mate in that environment on a Tuesday night or Wednesday night, where you've got a group of players, group of outfield players, one goalkeeper, two goalkeepers, and we're really making the goalkeepers feel a part of that group? Because I think maybe in latter years that might not have been the same case.
Think of it as you break it down. So if you say if you're fortunate to have two coaches at a session, and you say you had, I don't know, 12 players, 14 players, and a couple of goalies, or one goalie even, and you were thinking about what you were going to work on that evening. So you've got a certain theme that you're working on, and say, look, on Saturday we were really poor at defending crosses. We lost 3-0. Two of the goals come from crosses, really are simple. And they were from high and wide. So they were aerial crosses. They weren't low ones. So there's your little bit of detail. And then within the session, right, we're going to work on this. So he might be working with the players on defending principles, and then it would develop into defending crosses. So if the other coach could take the goalies away and talk about, right, okay, we're going to work in isolation for now. Right, for I don't know if you've got an hour on the pitch, for 15 minutes we're going to work in isolation, and what we're going to work on is your position in the goal in relation to where the ball is, right? And then it could be just thrown service depending on the age, and you've got two goalies, and it could be unopposed where they just come and catch high balls, and you talk about 1 foot takeoffs, hands, catching at highest point, eyes fixed on the back of the ball, all the real tech. But you're actually explaining them why you're doing this. We're doing this because when we go with the team, we're going to work on defending crosses, and we're going to work with the goalkeepers and the defensive unit. And then the attacking players obviously get their work because they're attacking a defensive unit. But their main focus is to try and get crosses in when they possibly can. So then you've got the buy-in from the goalkeepers, and you've got the buy-in from the players, because it's all linked together. So and that works in everyday life, whatever we do, really. If you can communicate and explain it and give the reasons why, then go into the detail and then join it together, and then we're working on it. So it's the working on it together element. So what you wouldn't want to do is take the young goalkeepers away and say, we need you to get better at crosses, because if we put it, we're almost putting it all at their door. Now, if you're a young goalkeeper and you may be struggling a little bit with confidence, that's really difficult to cope with. But if you spread it out evenly and say, look, we're going to work on dealing with crosses, because when we go with the team, we're all going to work on it together and get better at it as a team. And so the message is, well, we're all in this together.
Absolutely.
And then you get the buy-in. You get the buy-in from the players. And I think the coaches would enjoy it more as well. And they would probably come away from the session feeling like, Oh, we've really worked at something tonight, and we've got some success. And you know what? And they might review it and think, you know, we're still struggling defending it at the far post. Then, is that a position element of a player's, or are we too deep, or is the goalkeeper too close to his near post? So it might be one coach takes that, and the other coach is then focusing on the back line and the goalkeeper. So their main focus is maybe four players, five players, so he can really zone in on them. But again, we go back. I think the previous question you asked me was about having a little bit of knowledge on it. So when you're watching that, have you got a little bit of knowledge and understanding on it? So when you do go in and speak to the lads or the players, whoever the players are, the girls, boys, you can actually say to them, well, you know, look, when the ball's there and there's no pressure, we have to maybe be a little bit deeper because there's too much space in behind. Or if there is pressure and the ball's going to go back, can we take some space and move up? That means the goalkeeper can move up with you. So you're all working together. And then you can start to talk about that relationship of centre backs and goalkeeper. You know, they control the depth of the line. And then the communication elements come in of, you know, when you're talking to a fullback, you know, how do you want them to go to the ball? Where do you want them to show them? Do you want to show them outside? Do you want to show them inside? You know, and these are the things the coach has to get across. So, and these are just a little detail. And I think they know all this anyway. I think they get all this anyway. It's just a lot of the stuff like this, though, is always kind of after the event stuff, though. We'll coach it after the event. I think if you did it this way, you're preempting it. The next time we play a team, look, they've put a lot of crosses in. Remember that session we did last Wednesday? And you can take them back to that place and say, this is all that we're working on this. So we've no problems today, we'll be fine. Remember about our position and when the ball's there. And then, you know, and that's how I think you get the buy-in from everybody.
No, absolutely, Tony. It's been a pleasure chatting with you today. Really appreciate you giving up your time. Been a real insight into goalkeeping. Really enjoyed listening to you. Many thanks, and yeah, good luck. Good luck in Newcastle. Good luck in Northern Ireland.
Thanks, Guy. Appreciate it. Cheers.